Welcome to the River of Life, Fourth Family Discipleship Sunday. And I'd like to speak to you just for a second prophetically. I believe the Lord said to me a couple of days ago and just confirmed it again through things this morning that today is going to be a day of breakthrough. And some of you need to get prepared before the end of this service to write this date and the word breakthrough in your Bible. So be ready. Many have cried out to God and said, God, what's my calling? Many have cried out to God and said, God, what's my gifts? Many have cried out to God and said, God, where do I fit in the body of Christ, in the church? And for many, it has seemed like as if God was silent. And we've asked month after month, and sometimes year after year, and for some, even a decade after decade. I want to assure you today that God has not been silent, but if you have struggled in that area, if you will pay close attention to everything you hear today, you will have a breakthrough. One of my favorite parts of a family discipleship Sunday is getting to hear the salvation testimony of one person. We do this for a couple of reasons. One, so we get to know each other better. But two, to provide a platform for that person to practice. For them to bring that three-minute session here, they had to spend hours at home practicing and honing that down to 3 minutes, which then deposits that inside of them so that when they're out and about in everyday life, the Holy Spirit can pull it out of them and they can share their testimony with somebody out in the world. So welcome Veronica as she comes and shares her salvation testimony.
Okay. So my name is Veronica. I grew up on Brantford, Ontario Reserve, with two sisters and two brothers in a dysfunctional home. Most of the time, my parents would be drinking and fighting. Those early years were probably the most scariest years I've ever had to endure growing up. I stood by and watched my father beating my mom, even to the point of stabbing, and the police were called, and my mom went to the hospital, and we stayed at my aunt's for a couple of days. The cycle went on for about 10 years, at least until we were old enough to defend my mom. I had felt hatred to my dad for a long time. I was afraid of losing my mom, and many times thought I did as I watched her lie on the floor, drunk. Due to the trauma that I've developed a fantasy-prone personality as a way to cope. I started drinking with my friends, and one night, I was almost murdered. I then struggled with depression. I was treated disrespectfully by family members, which stripped me down to low self-worth. My youngest sister, for the longest time, hated me for my impaired vision. I started thinking, what if I were to die tonight? Would I go to hell? Not too long after that, a lady at the food bank invited me to her home for a barbecue, and then after a church camp meeting. It was that night that I received Jesus into my life. Once I was saved, I was free from epilepsy, depression, verbal, and mental abuse. When I encountered rejection, I learned who I am in Christ and that people realize that they cannot tear me down anymore. I received a new level of respect from my family. I have a closer relationship with my younger sister. I am able to handle situations that used to paralyze me. There was a time when I was being stopped. Rather than being paralyzed by fear, I trusted Jesus. My life has significantly changed after receiving Jesus. I am being equipped to share his love with real-life testimony books. We will endure hardship and storms in life, but I have confidence in God to know that he will help me in times of trouble. Psalm 71, verse 1 to 2. In you, O Lord, I put my trust and confidently take refuge. Let me never be put to shame or confusion. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape, and bow down your ear to me and save me.
Amen, amen. Thank you. In a couple of minutes, I'm going to ask for somebody for a popcorn testimony. A popcorn testimony is when somebody comes up and they give us 2 minutes on maybe how they gave a book away, or 2 minutes on how they practice as you go love, or how they practice as you go hear and obey the voice of God, or maybe it was as you go fear not. So I'm hoping that when I say popcorn testimony, that somebody from River of Life will run up here and say, I've got this, so get ready. But first I want to read to you a scripture found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. One of my favorite scriptures, one that really spoke to me when I was first saved, starting in 5:15, and that he died for all, this is talking about Jesus, that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Basically, we are to live for him. Dropping down to verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, anybody in the house in Christ today? I see a lot of hands going up. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Aren't you glad that old person passed away? Thank you, Jesus. Behold, all things are become new. I'm glad I'm not the guy I was before. And all things, did I hear an amen somewhere? And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us. That word reconcile means to take something that has been torn apart, severed or separated, and put it back together again. Therefore, if any man in Christ is a new creature, and all things are passed away, behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us, say us, to himself by Jesus Christ. We didn't deserve it. He just did it. He reconciled us to himself by what Jesus did on the cross. It doesn't end there. And hath given to us, say us, the ministry of reconciliation. Who does the ministry of reconciliation belong to? I didn't hear that. Come on, say it like you really mean it now. Us, yeah. Wow. The ministry of reconciliation, reconnecting sinful man to God through telling them what Jesus Christ did upon the cross, belongs to us. Wow. To wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, go to this next verse. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador represents a nation. We represent the nation of Jesus Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. And that's basically saying that the message of all of us is to shout, I beg you to see what God has done for you through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. I beg you to receive God while you have the chance and you have breath. That's the message of a minister of reconciliation. Who are the ministers of reconciliation? We are. The moment we're saved, we become a minister of reconciliation. I have found over the years, teaching a lot of ways to share my faith, that there is one that is the most effective, and that's the one we're going to talk to you about again today. And it's about writing your testimony, putting it in a book, and using those testimonies to reach lost souls for Jesus. So we're going to continue with the message today. As you go, tell people about Jesus using real life stories, books. Carol Ann, would you come? Give her a hand clap all the way from Canada today.
John 14:12 says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Availability, allowing God to interrupt your day in order to reach the heart of a soul who needs a touch from the Lord. We never know what a person is going through, but God does. We never know what a person is walking through, struggling through, or crying out for, but God does. God knows the need of all His children and all those who have been scattered and lost to Him. He is looking for those who will allow Him to use them to reach the lost and precious children of His. He is looking for someone who is willing to be interrupted, inconvenienced, stretched, okay to be uncomfortable, and willing to go all out so Jesus can display His love through us. Isaiah 6:8 says, "And I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go forth? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me." God does the training up, but I need to position myself and make myself available so that God can work through me as I hand out real-life storybooks. Every morning as I come to, I begin asking God for His love for me. I thank Him for His love for me, thanking Him for being such a good, good God, and asking Him for a constant flow of divine appointments for every day I am alive. Every day I want a fresh flow of divine appointment upon divine appointment, supernatural God-arranged encounters with people to share Jesus with as I walk through my day carrying and handing out these real-life books. Holy Spirit asked me recently, "Are you willing to be made available for me to invade your plans, interrupt your day-to-day activities so I can work through you and reach out to others through you?" You ask me every morning for divine appointments, but then you keep yourself so busy going from one appointment to another, you leave no room for me. Leave me time and space between your day's activities so that when you hand out a real-life book, I can move through you to touch that person. As I was preparing for this morning, to talk to you this morning, I called a friend for help because I felt stuck with what I was going to share. And this man on the other phone, my dear friends, shared with me this testimony, which I was not aware of. Last week, he said, a young lady named Hannah came into his thrift shop. He offered to pray with her and gave her a copy of volume 6 and 7 of those real life testimony books. She then shared with him this following story. "A few months back, I was walking along a sidewalk downtown Brantford in such despair, contemplating thoughts of suicide because I could not handle the pressure of my life as a college student, when suddenly a crazy lady with long blonde hair and glasses came to me asking to pray with me. She handed me a real-life storybook and then gave me this great big hug before she left. I have to say, when I heard this testimony, I bursted into tears. I had no idea the impact I had on that lady that day when I met her on that sidewalk. We do not always know the powerful impact our stopping for that one and handing them a real-life storybook can have on that precious one, but God does. That encounter and receiving a real-life testimony book kept her from committing suicide that day and gave her a new hope. Holy Spirit wants to move into our day, invade us with His timetable, and strategically have us be in just the right place at the right time so he can work his power through us to mightily impact yet another life for his glory. The reason that these real-life testimony books have such an impact on the people who receive them is because they are filled with anointed stories of his children once lost and now found, set free, and reconciled to him by the power of Jesus, the King of Kings. The impact of that book would not have been there in the same way for that girl had I not written my story and had it included in the book I gave her. Jesus wants to use your story to reach and impact his world for his glory. I have been handing out real life books for a while now and have become more comfortable handing them out. I then went to the next step of writing my story and having it printed in the Volume 6 and 7 edition. That was a new level of commitment and stretching for me. Now I want to go further in my lifestyle of reaching the lost with these real-life testimony books by using my words to speak life into people as I share Jesus with them. It is a step-by-step process, one that I am committed to keep growing in and making myself available to. Will you allow God to come upon you and let him use your story to be written for his glory? Write your story for his glory. Get it in a pamphlet. Start asking Holy Spirit to give you divine appointments to hand out your story using those real-life story books. Mark 1 says, "And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in his Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Ask him today to help you write your story for his glory, because there's a lot of people who need to hear your story that no one else can reach but you. Thank you.
It wasn't long ago that Carol Ann sat in church, never shared her faith, and really came to church for what the church could do for her. The worship was fantastic, wasn't it? But it wasn't until the day that she wrote her testimony and became an ambassador for Christ that her life really changed. So, River of Life, who has a popcorn testimony today? You used the book, you love somebody, you shared your faith with somebody. Anybody want to come up here? No, River of Life first. My team's always ready.
I have Courtside Ministries, and on Monday, we have a great big table right in front of the courthouse door. It says, "Need prayer? God answers prayer." And, you know, just within the last 2 weeks, this one lady was coming in. She goes, I go, "What can I pray for you about?" She goes, "I'm getting a divorce, and I need custody of the child." And I showed her on chapter one, it says, "The dreadful day of divorce." Well, then later on, just there was a person come in and says, "I've been drunk. I got arrested for drunkenness and all that." And I says, "Well, look here, chapter, you know, well, anyhow, page 21. When I was in junior high, I had my first drink and been drunk ever since." And then this other one said she really had a big severe family problem where they had drugs and alcohol. And I think it was page 67. I took a full 180-degree turn, because she was raised in alcohol, drugs, and everything. And I says, "Well, here, read this page too." So I've, you know, one day alone, I ministered to 38 people. So God is really blessed.
Thank you, Lord. That's awesome. And he said all of that, and he's got 42 seconds left. And he's on it. Thank you, Jesus. So River of Life, I want somebody else to get ready to come up. I'm going to holler for a popcorn testimony again. And I know some of you have been giving away books. You've been doing stuff. You've been loving on people. And we do this to encourage each other, to stir each other up, to fire each other up. I want to touch a minute on that ministry of reconciliation. I look at the ministry of reconciliation kind of look at like at a relay race. Anybody ever watch the Olympics where they ran relays? And you had that starter who came out of the blocks with a baton in hand. Well, I look at Jesus as the lead runner in the ministry of reconciliation. He was the ambassador. And Jesus comes out with that baton in his hand, and he's chugging along. And Jim says, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. And at the moment Jesus came into my heart and saved me, he handed me the ministry of reconciliation. He said, go do this in my place. You are now my ambassador to a lost and dying world. And then I had a choice to make. You know, in a relay race, when you drop the baton, you lose the race. When I got a hold of that baton 25 years ago, I tucked that baby in and I'm running with it. And ain't no turning back and no devil from hell can knock that baton out of my hands. But you see, the ministry of reconciliation, the ambassadorship of Christ, is not an option. It's given to you when you get saved. It's not an option. You can be obedient to it, or you can be disobedient to it. And you're running that race, Jesus hands you the baton. Today, Breakthrough Sunday, somebody's going to pick up the baton. Somebody's going to pick up the baton. Somebody. God isn't silent. He hasn't been silent. When I took the baton and I wrote my testimony and I started giving it away, all of a sudden, the conversation started and people were talking to me and the Holy Spirit started training me on the job. And words of knowledge came and words of wisdom came and words of prophecy came. I didn't have to pray about it. I didn't have to beg for it. I didn't have to ask where it was at. All I had to do was my first ministry. As I was about the first ministry, the Holy Spirit provided everything I needed. He was my trainer. He was my mentor. If you're calling out for, where's my calling? Have you missed your first calling? Have you missed what God created you for? God has created every one of us first to be ministers of reconciliation. And until we pick up the baton and become a true minister of reconciliation, the gifts will never flow in us the way we want them to. Because the gifts are powered by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is all about pointing people to Jesus. And so if you will start pointing people to Jesus, the Holy Spirit will work in you and the gifts will manifest. God isn't silent. He's waiting for us to be obedient. He's waiting for us to pick up the baton. Breakthrough Sunday for somebody, more than one. This is a time of decision. Speaker number two, as you go, tell people about Jesus using real-life storybooks. Jimmy, would you come?
First, I would like to say that I believe in what we are doing here. We need to encourage each other in faith, in love, and in truth. We all need to learn from each other. We all need to seek God in our own time, as well as corporately. Read His Word daily, renew our minds daily, to be kingdom-minded and not caught up in our own ideas and agendas. Every day, I pray that God will fill me up with His love, His Word, and His light, so that in any situation that comes up, or any time a person brushes up against me, Christ's love oozes out of me, God's word comes forth from me, and His light changes the atmosphere around me. We desperately need to be a witness as a lifestyle, And these meetings are teaching us how to do that, how to be a witness with hands-on training. Also, we need to be consistent. Keep doing it, not just once in a while. It's up to us to take this training and these tools given to us and run with it. I personally keep several boxes of these books handy, at least two cases in my truck for filling displays and for handing out, an open case at home just in case someone stops by, like the pizza delivery person. I fill several book displays at laundromats and gas stations. My dad takes them to a grocery store. I am leaving the books in different and random places that would seem like they may have been forgotten there, like on top of Redbox, in front of a store, in a break room at work, on top of the candy machine, in front of an apartment door, in a mailbox, or on a magazine table at the laundromat. Now that's the easy part. But I feel God's love heavy on my heart these days, and I am looking for hurting people that I can get in conversation with that might be glad to receive a book. Wherever I am, whether at a restaurant or a parking lot, I pray that God will fill each of us to overflowing with his love, that we would have his heart and overwhelming love to motivate us to reach out to these people. I've begun telling people about how I love God, how we are having these meetings, and how God has changed my heart. Not everyone accepts the message, but they are taking the books. So the message is getting out there. I'm excited to say that a steady two cases each month has been going out from the stockpile at my home. But I feel it is going to increase. I would like to hit up libraries and restaurants to put up displays and give more in person also. I was in the laundromat one day and overheard a lady talking to her friend, amazed. She said out loud, "Check this out. I just opened it, and it says rejected," and proceeded to read out loud chapter 29 from the books in astonishment. She said, "That's me. That's so me right there. That's my life." I didn't see who was reading it, but I made eye contact with a friend she was reading it to. I didn't get anything to say to either of them, but it was a positive confirmation that it is working. In 2 weeks, an entire box of books were taken, and I had to add more every week. Now people are reading it out loud in the laundromat. Praise God, it's impacting lives. When I tell of Jesus these days, I say something like, "Not forcing anything on you. All I can say is how much I love him and what God has done for me, what he has brought me through. When I can't change myself, he changes me." Depending on the conversation you're having, of course. I told my mechanic he could say what he wants about church and their ministers, but I love my God. He didn't want to hear that, but I wasn't about to let it go unsaid how much I love my God after he bashed religion and all churches. God is not willing that any should perish, 2 Peter 3:9. What can we do with those who have been hurt by the church? We love them. How can we love them if we can't love ourselves, if we can't love each other? Forgive yourselves and others. Pray that God will fill you with his agape love. How can we reach the world if we ourselves are broken, if the church is still not functioning to the fullest that God has designed it to function? In every opportunity throughout your day, search out the heart of God. Ask God, "What's in your heart today, God? What's going on? Do you need me to help you pray for anyone or anything? By the way, I love you." We must take the gospel to them. They're not coming to church. We are the church. We are a representative of Christ. You might be the only Jesus that person sees in this lifetime. So don't hold back the love of God for their soul. Smile. Be generous. Show them the love of Jesus any way you can. And offer them a book. It shows the character of God and offers them salvation. That's truly the least you can do for the kingdom. Love them. Look in their eyes and love their soul, in spite of what they look or smell like on the outside. You never know, that homeless person could be the next Billy Graham, or even Jesus himself disguised as a homeless person. If you're not comfortable just walking up and speaking to strangers about Jesus, give them a book. What has God done for you in your life? Share that.
and all of that and 8 seconds to spare. Thank you, Jimmy. Hey, brother. Question. You glad you picked up that baton? You glad you're an ambassador for Christ? There was a day not too long ago that Jimmy didn't share his faith. He gives away 2 bookcases of books a month now on an average. That's 140-some people that he impacts just by living life and daily reaching out. River of Life, does somebody have that popcorn testimony? Gave away a book, loved somebody, prayed for somebody. Anybody? Go on once? Come on. Hey, I got 2 of you. Come. Yep. We ain't missing this moment. All right, first one.
Go for it. This week, I was having some really sharp pains in this area. And I've had pain there before at times when I was taking calcium tablets, so I connected it to calcium deposits in the gallbladder, and I'd always quit taking calcium tablets because of it. I hadn't been taking any calcium tablets, but it was the same pain, but very, very sharp. And then I woke up during the night with it just burning and painful, and it stayed that way into the next day. And I started rebuking it. I had my husband pray with me against that, because by Jesus' stripes we have been healed. And I stood my ground, and that thing broke, and it's gone. It is totally gone, and I'm healed. The other thing I want to say is, you know, sometimes listening here, I felt almost ashamed, or like, well, what am I doing for God? And I started to really, I realized I was being attacked by the enemy. He was belittling me and making me feel like I hadn't done anything all week. And excuse me, devil, but this week I got up, and every day I've been seeking God about situations that I, my family, and others are in, and praying and seeking God for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and praying for others. I got called to jury duty, and among 14 jurists where I had to sit for a number of days, and we discussed a lot of things, I talked a lot about the Lord and the power of God to change people's lives, because God had given me a testimony, because I had a son who had been in a lot of problems, but God changed the whole situation around. And I was able, as those jurists struggled with one of the defendants being a young man, a very young man, who had done a lot of bad things, and what was going to happen to him, I was able to testify about the power of God. And then to top it off, there was an older man within the group who I looked at him, and I asked him, because he had a book in front of him, and I said, "What is the book you're reading?" And I did it in front of all the jurors. Well, guess what? He was a minister to, he had a ministry to the jails. He goes into Elkhart Jail all the time. And so it was a wonderful time. It was great, because I thank him for his ministry, because I know how important, because of my situation with my son who got in trouble with the law, to have people that have understanding and can minister to those in jail, and also to use that situation to encourage the other jurors to help them make a right decision for this young man's life. Who did so many bad things and really needed to feel the consequences for that situation. I could go on. There's my sister who's Okay.
Next. That was wonderful. Thank you for sharing.
Well, this is a testimony of my awesome husband, whose life just amplifies Jesus. He doesn't have to say anything. And our neighbor, who's going through a really difficult time right now, called Ron over to pray for him. And he went through a major surgery. He's been very ill, but God is doing a lot in him. And he knows you all are praying for him. And he feels that is getting him through. And he's hanging on to those prayers. And he loves it when my husband comes over just to pray for him. And he's going to be in church as soon as he can walk. So pray that Dennis can walk again, because the surgery that he had damaged some nerves. So he knows you're praying, and it's getting him through. Amen.
Okay, so my job is to work in an in-school suspension in middle school. And last year I had this boy who would come to school. He was going through a lot. His parents were on drugs and alcohol, and they were going in and out of being homeless. And he'd come to school, and he found the one door with no cameras on, and he'd disappear every day. And eventually he kept doing that, and he went to a couple of the local businesses and had shoplifted and got caught. So he ended up with me, and they pretty much just kept him in my room. So I would witness to him and talk to him a lot about things I had went through as a kid and things that God had helped me through. He got better. He got to go out amongst the other kids, and at the end of the year, he was doing a lot better. But on the last day of school, like the second or last day of school, he had skipped, and they were kicking him out. So he'd written me this long email about how he appreciated me, but the things that he was talking about, I knew it was God. I knew it wasn't me. I knew it was God working through me. So at the end of his long letter, like, he said something about when he walked in my room, he felt the peace and he felt the love. And I didn't get to share it with him. It was just an email, and I had messaged him back, and I said, "Now, that wasn't me. That was God. I love you too, but that was God. That was God working through me." And on Friday morning when I went to work, I got an email, and it was from him. And he said, "Miss Knox, I've never went to church camp with my grandpa like he's asked me every year. And this year I went, and I got saved, and I understand what you meant, and that that was God."
Praise the Lord. River of Life, if you will catch this about writing your testimony and about grabbing the baton and about being an ambassador for Jesus, there will come a time in not too far off distance where I'll say, "Who has a popcorn testimony?" And you'll be running each other over to get up here. Because once you start saving souls, you can't contain yourself. You can't contain yourself. Oh, it's so good. It is so good. You know, some of us might have said, "You know, Brother Jim, I've been like a yo-yo. I get hot for God, and I get cold. I'm in church, and I'm out of church. And I just don't understand." You might consider that you said a prayer, but did you ever grab the baton and become an ambassador for Jesus? You see, once you grab that baton and you take the ambassadorship, this world no longer owns you. You are an ambassador for Christ. The issues of life no longer faze you because you're an ambassador of Christ. The Holy Spirit's in you and walks with you everywhere you go, and the dunamis power is released into the circumstances of your life, and you never consider turning back. When that happens, you'll go up to a pulpit in churches for 6 months, barely able to walk, almost crippled, and you'll still get up there and preach the Word of God because the enemy ain't shutting you down and he ain't turning you back. I suggest today that some of you, if you've been that yo-yo, if you've been hot, you've been cold, your deliverance, your breakthrough is in bending down and picking up that baton and saying, "Today, I become an ambassador for Jesus." Oh, but Brother Jim, that's not my job. That's the devil talking. Ministry of Reconciliation belongs to every born-again Christian the moment they cry out for salvation. Third speaker, as you go tell people about Jesus using real-life stories, books, Tully, would you come?
It is easy to tell people about Jesus with real-life stories, Christian testimony books. You must only purpose yourself to bring some books with you and to give them as the Holy Spirit leads you through prayer. It is a great way to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 4:25 reads, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee." In other words, fix your purpose as you go and give books with ease. It is easy to set some books by the front door on purpose for the unexpected visitor. A mailman, a neighbor, or a service person could approach your home at any time. Praise God that I have purposed some books on a table near the door. These occasions present themselves unexpectedly, but I see the books and the seed is sown. Sometimes these people come to the door and they start to walk off because I'm not thinking, I'm in my daily, you know, life, and I look over and I see the books and I chase them out the door. But it's good that I have them purposed there. So it is easy to carry two books to the grocery store on purpose every time you go in. First, pray before you enter the store. Second, ask the Holy Spirit to direct you. Third, listen to the still small voice inside and purpose to give books to where he says. It is easy to carry books with you in the car on purpose when you are traveling. I have given many books away at gas stations, at rest stops, and hotels. I just purpose to take two books with me every time I get out of my vehicle. I also purpose to have books in the door of the car right up front next to me. That way, when the Lord says, give a book, I can do it fast. It is easy to fill display cases at businesses on purpose once a week. This method of book giving has been such a blessing to me. I'm overjoyed when I go to stock books and there are very little or even none left. What an easy way to sow seed. It is easy to send real life story Christian books on purpose in the mail to people in your past. Facebook has been a wonderful tool for me to post scripture. My old friends wonder what happened to me. I am always glorifying God. Many friends have asked me about the change in my life, and at that point, I get their address and mail them a book. They read my story and others. I was able to lead a friend from junior high school to the Lord by this process. It is easy to give books out at restaurants on purpose. I remember a vacation that my husband and I took. As we enjoyed our lunch, we gave one book to our waitress and one to the cook. The last book we gave to a mother and daughter duo who had sat next to us. The mother began to cry. They thanked us and shared with us that 1 year ago, the woman's son was murdered. It turns out that they were having lunch to deal with the grief of the anniversary. The mother said, I know that God always puts the right people in the right place at the right time. I know God positioned us in that restaurant that day to pray for those ladies and to give them a book. It is easy to give books out at toll plazas on purpose. When my husband and I drive through, we say something like, my story is in this book and I think you will enjoy it. Once the toll operator plaza said, I got a book like that just the other day. It is easy to give books at the bank on purpose. Let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you. I saw a girl at the bank a while ago, and the Lord said to give her a book and some money. Later on that day, she sent me an email. She said that she was suffering from drug addiction and that my story had really touched her. I had given her just enough money to buy all the items she needed for her baby. She said that the encounter changed the way that she saw God. It is easy to give books out as gifts for Christmas on purpose. I once knew a lady who would wrap books up in colorful paper and put money inside. It was Carla. Sorry. What a great way to share the love of God with a lost soul. There is only one more thing that makes sharing Jesus with people as you go easier than easy, and that is when you put your own testimony in the pages of the book. Then you can say, my story is on page such and such, and I would like to share it with you. Almost every person that I have approached in this manner has been very happy and excited about getting a book. Anywhere you go, giving books is a sure way for the people you meet to have a divine encounter with the Lord through you on purpose. Be sure to always carry books. I can remember times when I have forgot. I knew that I had missed an opportunity that I could never get back, but I praise God for forgiving me and giving me another chance. Write your story to God's glory, and as you go, it will be easy to tell people about Jesus with real life story Christian storybooks.
Thank you, Lord. Give me my baton. What'd you do with my baton? Oh, it's going around. Oh, that's cool. I'm glad I saw that. Keep passing it around. That's good. That's a better place for it when I was going to do it. I was going to drop it on the floor again. But I will do that one more time before we're done, because this is the day that God's going to ask some of you to pick up your baton. Not tomorrow, not next year. This is the day. You see, truth is, most of us are afraid to share our faith. The devil's paralyzed us. But my God, he's a liberating God, and he's freeing us up. And what we're learning is just part of getting, man, time myself out. And what we're learning is just part of us getting free. We're going to go on to our next speaker. Carla, would you come as you go tell people about Jesus?
Matthew 10:8 says, "Freely you have received, freely give." If you write your story, we can put it in a book for River of Life. And then you can go and you can freely tell people about Jesus by using your book. Amen. You can develop a lifestyle of using the books wherever you go, even when you go to the grocery store. Just like I did when I went to Walmart one day. And I seen LaTanya. And I approached her and I said, "I have something for you." And her eyes got really big and she couldn't wait to see what it was. And I showed her the book and I told her where our stories were at. And I said, "It's a gift for you." And I walked away, but then I knew I was supposed to go back. And I said, "Let's get a picture together." And I said, "Is there something you need prayer for?" And she said, "My son's in prison." So we prayed together right there. And she was so blessed and she gave me a hug again. Yeah, yes, I went in to get groceries, but I had a bigger opportunity. How about if you go to get coffee? We'll see this next picture. We were up in Quincy, Illinois, and I always take 10 books in to Dunkin' Donuts whenever we go to a new one we've never been to before. There was a lady in front of me, and I knew one was supposed to be for her, and I said, "This is a book for you to have with your coffee and donut." And she said, "Thank you so much." The lady, her name was Radiance, and I said, these other nine are for you and your and the other employees that work here. And I, when I found out what her name was, I cupped my hand under her chin, and I says, "Your name matches your personality." She just was so sweet, and so she took the book, and she's like, "Oh, wow, I can't wait to read this." She says, "My baby's daddy is in prison. And he keeps going in and getting out and going back in. I think this is something that can maybe reach him because we've tried everything." So I just thank God for that opportunity to bless Radiance. How about when you go to a restaurant? Yeah, you're going to go there and have a nice meal, but you have a bigger opportunity. We were in Miami, and we had a nice dinner outside. We had a wonderful waiter. He did an excellent job, but my eye kept focusing on this lady. And she was going out doing the other tables. And God says, "I have a word for her, and I want you to write it in the book." So I wrote the word in the book. And when an opportunity arose, I called her over to our table. And I said, "I was noticing you, and you're doing an excellent job." And I said, "God had me write a word in this book for you." And she said, "Read it to me." She didn't want to just read it. She said, "You read it to me." So I read it to her, and she was so touched. She says, "Can I hug you?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "Can we get a picture together?" She said, "Absolutely." So she was ministered to, and she was touched, and she got the word that God wanted her to receive that day. How about when you stay at a hotel? Make sure, you know, you have your books with you whenever you stay at a hotel. This past June, we were in Bryce Canyon area, and after I was exiting the hotel, these two ladies were at the front desk. And the one on the left over here, her name was Mandy, and the other one was Oana. And I started to show them the book and told them about it and gave them each a copy. And Oana, she took it. You see how she's hugging it there. Well, she started flipping through it. And she flipped through it till she got to this one page, and she's like, "Oh, my gosh, I feel like this story is about my life." And I said, "Oh, let me see what it is." And it's from Sue from Canada story, which says, "My life was never easy." And she hugged that book and she says, "You know what? I can't wait to read this. And I'm going to keep it in my library and I'm going to keep going back to it and reading it. Thank you so much." And so they allowed me to take their photo together. And I said, "Oh, where are you from, Oana?" And she's originally from Romania. So I said, "Thank you, Lord," you know, because a lot of the people, they will come from countries and they will work in the United States and then they will go back to their countries. And it was an opportunity to sow into that. And I just thank the Lord for that. But you think about your story and don't just think about it. Let's get your stories written. Let's get River of Life Edition going. Because you all have opportunities to go to a restaurant, to go to a hotel, to go to the grocery store, to go to the coffee shop, to go wherever God sends you. Each and every day, you have a ministry to fulfill. I was shying backwards, fearful. But I'm going to tell you what, God set me free when I said, you know what, I'm going to quit focusing on my fear and my backwardness and my shyness, and I'm going to focus on the hurting people around me, and I'm going to let you pour through me, and I can be a witness, I can be a conduit of what you have for me to share with people so I can impact the world around me. And that's what you all can do too. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I remember the day when she was afraid to share her faith. She spent the first 25 years of her Christian life afraid to share her faith. She did all the good church stuff, was part of everything, but was afraid to share her faith. I thank God that He set her free. She shares Jesus every day, every time she gets an opportunity. Those on our team, they've learned this. It didn't come natural. They're still learning. I'm still learning. It doesn't come easy. The enemy's always trying to shut us down. Would you go with that? Go to that first picture. You know, we started off today with me talking about God. What's my calling? All of our first calling is to be an ambassador for Christ. All of our first calling is to be an ambassador for Christ. It's not to be an apostle. It's not to be a teacher. It's to be an ambassador for Christ. It's not to work in child care. Good thing. But it's to be an ambassador for Christ. All of our first calling is to tell the world about Jesus. God, what are my gifts? If you really want to know what your gifts are, you just get out there and you start being an ambassador of Christ, and all of your gifts will be identified as you are an ambassador of Christ. The gift of prophecy will start working in you. All of the gifts will start flowing through you as you are about being an ambassador for Christ. God, where do I fit in the church? That'll be identified by the Holy Spirit, as you are about the Father's business, being an ambassador for Christ. What I want to show you right now are just some easy ways that we can all share our faith. If you look up there, I'm about to drop a book in a car window. That is so easy. That can be done anywhere at any time. Go to the next picture. I tuck that one on a mirror. It fits in there just like a little saddle, perfectly. When somebody comes, now you don't put it on the passenger mirror. You put it on the driver's mirror. You don't want it to blow away. But when somebody comes to get in that car, they're going to find that book. They're going to have an opportunity to meet Jesus. Go to the next picture. And the next picture. There's bicycles parked all over town. They need Jesus. Go to the next picture. And the next picture. Nothing hard about dropping a real-life storybook with the gospel message in a basket on a bicycle. Now, you don't want to go up to a bike of racks that they're renting out because it'll rain first and those books will get all wet. You want to be selective about how you use them because the books cost money. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. Golf carts are a nice place to put books. Go to the next one. Stick one in that fish's mouth. And you know what? Somebody's going to walk down that street and they're going to snatch that book out of that fish's mouth. We got to get creative with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go ahead to the next picture. Now look at that lady running with the gospel message. That's what God wants all of us to do. Books in hand, the love of Jesus in our heart, and running with the gospel message. Go ahead to the next picture. Man, we even got the saints involved. You know, somebody's going to come grab that book up. Go ahead to the next picture. Signs along the street. Somebody's going to close that business. They're going to come put that sign away. And when they put that sign away, they're going to get Jesus. Go ahead to the next picture. Look at that book hanging on a bulletin board. On the bottom. You can see it right way down low. Somebody's going to come up to that bulletin board looking for something. And they're going to find Jesus. I call this witnessing for cowards. I do. But you know what? I do this too. You know what? The devil comes on me just like he does everybody else, and he tries to scare me. But I've learned when I miss it, I repent. I drop to my knees and I say, Father, forgive me. And I do it better the next time. Truth is, we're all cowards. I admit it. How about you? Oh, not me, brother. Go ahead to the next picture. See that book sticking out of the top of that bench? It's facing a bar. So when the guy stumbles out of that bar, he going to find that book. Go to the next picture. We walk through towns sometime very early morning before the business is open, and we'll stick 100 books in the door handles of all the businesses in town. Now, there ain't anybody too scared to do that. We can all do this. And you know what the cool part is? We'll visit that town later in the day, and we'll go in, and the shopkeeper will be reading the book. Jesus gets the glory. This is easy. Everybody can do this. Go ahead to the next picture. There's another book on a business. Go ahead to the next picture. If the door handle doesn't hold the book well, you can set it on the floor. Now, you don't do it if it's going to rain. You got to use wisdom. You don't want to waste God's resources. Go ahead to the next picture. Somebody's going to see that, and they're going to walk up, and they're going to snatch up that book. Even the statues are crying out. There's a scripture about that. The rocks are crying out. Go ahead to the next one. Or is that it? That must be it. You know, I love sharing Jesus, and I am no expert by any means. And I get hit with fear just like everybody else. And I sometimes bow to that fear just like everybody else. But I am quick to repent. I am quick to, Father, forgive me for missing it, and help me, Father, to do it right the next time. And you know what? I don't miss it as many times as I used to. We are all ambassadors for Jesus. And the truth is, 90% of all Christians, their baton is down there. 90% of all Christians have never shared the gospel. They have never led a soul to Jesus. And they don't talk about God outside the walls of the church or in the comfort setting of other Christians. And the truth is, we're in sin. It is a sin to know what to do and not tell people about Jesus that are going to hell. And this is what I'm asking you today. I ain't asking you this. This is what God's asking you today. Will you pick up the baton? Will you pick up the baton, and will you run the race for me? If you'll pick up the baton, you don't even know how, you don't even have to know what to do, because I'm going to teach you. I've given you the Comforter. I've given you the Holy Spirit, and I will empower you to go out and do what I'm asking you to do. But you have to just say, I surrender. I'll pick up my baton today. Is there anybody else that'll pick up the baton today? If that's you, stand to your feet. You'll pick up the baton today. You'll run the race for Jesus today. You'll write your testimony to His glory. You'll share your testimony for His glory. You'll be in the future book that's developed here in this church. And then you'll take that book into the community and you'll use it for His glory. The ministry of reconciliation belongs to every born-again Christian the moment they cry out to God. It belongs to them. You can try to run from it. You can try to hide from it. You can try to talk it away. But you can't run from it. The ministry of reconciliation belongs to every born-again Christian from the moment they cry out to God. There's a responsibility. And someday we're all going to stand before God and He's going to say to some, depart from me, I don't know you. Jesus died for us. He died for the world. And we are the vehicles that He wants to use to tell the world. I thank God for all of you that stood. And we commit in the days ahead to help you to write your testimonies, to be part of a book and go out and win souls for Jesus. And for those that haven't stood, I pray that you will someday. And you will become a powerful witness for Jesus. There's nothing more important in this life. Nothing more important in this life. Nothing more important in this life than being a witness for Jesus.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise.